Day number 16 of the Rush Hour with MG's advent calendar. Liam Flanagan here. And boy, you're in for a treat today. Settle in. Robert Whittaker, UFC champion and MG's favourite guest of the year. I've never seen Mark Geyer be so nervous about a guest being in studio. Robert Whittaker came in, gave us a huge amount of time, and here is the full chat with UFC champion Robert Whittaker. Better
watch out. The Triple M Rush Hour with MG's advent calendar.
Now, MG, normally I sit down and I go through the biographies of all the guests we have in. I prepare a well-written introduction, but I have dead set never seen you as filled with nervous energy as you are because of our next guest. So I'm going to let you introduce him.
Look, it's not often I'm starstruck by our guests, but when they're as humble as our next guest, who happens to be a world champion in his chosen sport, he's a great family man, a great husband, and also he's a great ambassador for our country. I speak of the one, the only, Rob Whittaker, UFC middleweight champion of the world, baby. G'day. The Reaper or Bobby Knuckles? What do you rather?
Probably the Reaper. I have to go with the Reaper.
The Reaper. Brother, thanks for coming in.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
A couple of teeth missing, broken hand. That's just all in a day's work.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I've got a couple of crowns in my teeth. You don't understand. Like, yeah. Just a couple of crowns. They get knocked out in training half the time. But fortunately, got knocked out during the fight. And now I look absolutely stupid as hell.
You went to deep waters with this guy twice now. First time in the first round, you had a pretty substantial knee injury and fought for four rounds after that. This time, you broke your hand in the first round. At any time through the fight, giving the opponent, did you have any type of angst or anxiety?
Yeah, definitely. You know, the biggest thing with Romero was that I had fought him a year ago, so I kind of knew what to expect. But the Romero that came out on the weekend, it was like fighting RoboCop. It was like I was punching and kicking him like good punches. I was tearing into him, and he was just kept walking forward. And when the hand broke, it was one of those things. Okay, I've lost a lot of my firepower, but I can still put him away at the jab, stay behind the jab, establish a good jab, good kicks. And like I said, he was like RoboCop.
Did you know straight away you'd broken the hand?
I didn't know I had broken it, nor do I know when it happened. It's just one part in the first round. I remember my hand. I couldn't feel it from my fingertips to my forearm, and I knew that wasn't good, bud.
And so, I mean, you've defended your title, UFC 225 over in Chicago, but there was so much, I guess, controversy in the lead up to this fight with Romero not making weight, which meant that it wasn't a title fight.
Which means you didn't have to fight him if you didn't want to.
And a lot of people don't realise that, but I didn't need to fight him that night. I would have got paid my purse anyway, and I could have just walked home, gone home, hunky-dory.
So what was in you then that said,
he's a fighter?
No, I'm doing this.
I promised a lot of people I'd put on the show, to be honest. And I knew there was a lot of friends and family back here that are tuning in, bought the pay-per-view to see me fight. And I flew 20 hours. Like to get there, and if you fly 20 hours, you're fighting someone. You know what I mean?
But it's just not at the 20 hours. I mean the training camp. You know the 6 or 8 week training camp you put in, the untold time away from your kids who you love and adore, and the sacrifice you've got to make. Someone's got to pay for that. unfortunately for the soldier of God, it was him.
Yeah, it was him. He was in my sights that day. Yeah, I cut weight. I made the sacrifices necessary. I trained. My team put in the work. My family put in the sacrifices. And, you know, a lot of people said, was it in your thoughts? Did you think it wasn't going to make weight? And to be honest, like, that's not my job.
No.
Him making weight, that's your job. You signed on the dotted line that says you got to make 185 for this to even be a fight. My job is to make sure that I'm on weight. And, you know, it was very unprofessional of him, but... That's him and his problems.
Mm.
But it just goes to the show. That's, you know, when introducing the Reaper, it proves the good guys can come first. You know, it can prove that you don't have to trash talk in this business to be on top of your game. I mean, a lot of guys who are now trying to be a second Conor McGregor instead of trying to be themselves, where you are so different from the norm that you're standing out because of the fact that you are a normal bloke, which resonates... A lot of people resonate towards you.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing with, especially with my audience reception that I get from Australia is that The biggest thing I think that I've capitalized on is that Australians can tell when you're putting it on.
Oh.
Like, we can smell bullshit from like a mile away. Like, we really can. And my dad said, always told me that. He goes, don't bullshit. Like, no one wants to see that. And as soon as they get a whiff of it, you'll unravel yourself. So just be yourself, whether they like you or not. Just be yourself.
In your post-fight chat in the octagon with Joe Rogan, you said that Romero hit like a truck, and twice, rounds 4 and 5, he knocked you down. When those shots land, because a lot of people out there listening, myself included, have never taken a shot like that, probably will never take a shot like that. What is that feeling? I mean, did you not see those shots coming? What is the sensation in those split seconds when you go down and then getting back up and trying to regain composure?
I think it's obvious I missed those shots coming. Like, I would have done a bit more to avoid them. But if you have any sort of combat sports, you get MG that, like, there's times when you've been hit and you're gone and you wake up and you don't even know what day it is. And then there's times when you hit, and the way it works is, the best expression that I can give you is, like, 1 minute you're standing, the next you're on your ass. And you're like, but you're still with it.
Yeah.
Straight away, everything makes sense. And you're like, I understand how I got here. Time to work, get back to work. So at no point, because that were flush hits, and he's built like he's a machine. He really is. So he hits very hard.
Yeah. It was a deja vu. You get, like, I know when I, in rugby league, when I'd get a glancing blower or get knocked out, I'd go straight to a place, I'd go deja vu. I think, I've been here before. But obviously I hadn't been, but that's the thing that must happen to the brain when it rattles against the skull.
Well, the biggest thing that happened to me, like, when I was on my ass and I saw him charging forward at me, it's like, this doesn't look good. that's the biggest thing in my head. It's like, the refs, my friends, my family is all looking at me, and I go, well, this doesn't look good.
Yeah.
And but at no point did I ever really feel any pressure or threat, because it's very different to boxing. If you get a knockdown in a mixed martial arts fight, it's not, you didn't just win it. You got to utilize that timing. You got to capitalize on that. And I feel that Romero really let me off the hook both those times by just going ballistic as he does and not landing any flush shots, not capitalizing on taking ground position, not getting on top. He rushed it a bit, I feel. And I don't think he could have, in my opinion, capitalized on those much better.
Mm.
We last 9 fights. When was it? When did you go from welter to middleweight? When was that?
I think it was 8 fights ago.
8 fights. So is the last time you've been beaten from Wonderboy? Was that the last loss?
Yeah, Wonderboy was the last one.
In 2014?
Yes.
February in 2014.
It's one of the longest active win streaks, like, in the UFC at the moment.
That is friggin' phenomenal, because Wonderboy, at the moment he's had a big fight with Darren Till over in his hometown. But I think there's some sharks circling you at the moment. One's called Gastelum, who's looking to obviously fight the champ and get a good payday. Are your thoughts on who's next, or are your thoughts on now just recovering?
Well, the thing is, the UFC offered to fight to Gastelum when Romero didn't make weight.
Okay.
And Gastelum said some personal things come up. So
that means he's scared shitless.
So I don't know where that puts him. I know it doesn't look good to reject fights from the UFC.
But your kicking game at the moment is like, on last fight when you had your hand nullified, your front kicks to his knee in particular, which he done to you in the first fight.
Yeah.
You thought, stuff you, take your own medicine back. And that was, could you feel them working on him each time?
Mate, I don't get it. I honestly don't get it, because I could feel the tendon stretching. When, if you watch the fight, I am stomping the hell out of it. And I could feel the tendons, like, it's a certain resistance that comes when kicking in a knee. And and he just kept coming forward. He just, like, it was ridiculous,
to
be honest.
It's like 41.
He's got Peter Wallace knees. He's got no ACLs left in them, but he keeps going.
Oh, I just couldn't stop him.
So talk us through the 24 hours after the fight. You're in Chicago because, MG, when you guys won the grand final in 91, it was a pretty decent party.
Oh, yeah. Well, look at the moment,
the Golden State Warriors
and Washington. And they've been partying for a week.
These parties are parades down the street. They are champagne showers, goggles on. What's the 24 hours after a fight like that for yourself?
More than anything, I just go back to see my wife, see my kids, and I eat.
Yeah.
I eat a ton of food. I go straight for the room service and just blow out and play some video games. The biggest thing and a big mentality behind my my little team that I have in my program that I work is that win, lose, or draw, we do the same thing after every fight. We don't celebrate wins because you don't celebrate losses.
Okay.
So, you know, because at the end of the day, you can do everything right, but it takes one lucky shot, like what Romero landed on me, to just finish, like to finish it, and you don't get up the next time, you know. And you can't control that. No one can control that. It's just a fluke thing. So losing is very real in our sport, and sometimes you don't have control over it. So it's very important to just set procedures in place to deal with loss and winning and all that.
So after your victory, what's the food item that you got that is in trouble? What is Robert Whittaker heading straight for?
Right now, my teeth are. I'm missing my crowns. Okay, I need my crowns to chew stuff, and I need my right hand to cut meat. So right now I'm dealing with like ramen soup and all that sort of stuff, like easy left hand food.
Okay,
but normally it's everything. It's everything I can get my hands on.
Everything you've abstained from during training camp.
Yeah, it's just
so you went five rounds with this guy on the weekend. Then it's in the hands of the judges, and you hear it's a split. It's a split decision. What's your thoughts when Bruce Buffer's reading out the score sheets?
The thing is, I had undoubted confidence that I had done enough to win the fight.
Especially the first three.
Yeah, I outstruck the absolute hell out of him. I damaged him. I put a show on the rounds he did, and I feel apart from the times he dropped me, he didn't strike. He didn't throw. He didn't wrestle. He didn't really put on a good performance, in my opinion. So I had a lot of confidence in the fact that I had done enough to win that fight, but I have also lost a split decision before. So, you know, there's always that voice in the back of your head. What are the judges going? What do the judges think? You know, where are they going to lean? And you know, that was my night. I got the nod. Very happy with it. And
Do you find that you are leading this renaissance of young fighters coming through, like the Bam Bams and Tyson Pedros and all these gyms popping up all in Western Sydney at the moment, UFC gyms that basically are popping up like McDonald's. Everywhere you look, there's a UFC gym on the corner. This wasn't happening 5 or 10 years ago. This is the new thing. I even said on the show that if UFC or MMA was around when I was 7, 8, 9, 10, I think I would have leaned towards that instead of rugby league because it's such a challenge. MMA is such a friggin' challenge. You've got four disciplines to perfect. And if you're not good at one of them, you'll be found out.
Yeah.
So what do you think of these new guys coming through? Do you have much to do with it, with them training-wise and like the James Tahunas and stuff of the world? These blokes, how much of an influence of that on your career?
Well, James Tahuna, well, he was like a pioneer of the sport.
He was
one of the OGs.
George Sotiropoulos?
Yeah, Sots. He was. they're all pioneers. They were all leading the sport into what it is now. A big objective for me was always, especially with my career, is to make sure, is to try and bring enough positive spotlight on the sport so that the old school reputation that we had as being thugs and ruffian changes to the point where, apart from being a fan of the sport, you can see that we are elite athletes, that we are of a different cloth. And so that younger guys, not next generation, but the generation after that, can like at 18 can see, oh, I'm going to make a career out of mixed martial arts. Mm. Yeah, much like footy, like a lot of the young footy players are like, I can make a make a run at this. I don't have to be the champion to make a living.
There are some comparisons that I see at the end of a fight, end of a rugby league game. You know what your body's been through. And no matter how much trash talk's gone on before the game, both in rugby league and both in UFC and other sports, contact sports, there's always the handshake because you know what your body's just been through. And that respect, I think, holds that, you know, as long as the respect's there. And I don't think I've seen one fight, even with the, you know, the biggest rivals in the world in UFC and even some rugby league battles who hate each other, I've never seen no one push a hand away and not shake hands. Mm. And the day they did, the day they'd be, you know, inundated with hate.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I think me personally, I've always been under the impression what happens on the field stays on the field, sort of thing. Mm. So I don't try to bring what we're doing in there outside of it, you know. But I feel that some mixed martial artists take it a bit too far. I think they bring in home life and stuff like that. Mm. And I think that's very uncalled for. I feel like if that's where you're going, you're making an enemy outside of the octagon, which is very different. Yeah. Very, very different.
You're standing here in the studio with us now on the Rush Hour with MG, which we are very grateful for your time as the UFC middleweight champion, having defended your belt. Cast your mind back to however many years ago that you first started out Is it surreal for you to be standing here as the champion? Was there ever any doubt in your mind? Have you allowed yourself to think back to those moments when you're first grinding away, going, "Yeah, I can do this one day."
Yeah, all the time. I have moments where I'm having a drink with my wife in the executive lounge, going, "Oh, look at us go, look at us go." Or there's times we're at a real nice hotel and we're about to steal the shampoo and the conditioners, and then we have a good, I think we're like,
we can afford these.
Yeah, we're like, we've made it, but I'm still taking these.
Yeah,
plenty of time. You know, it's one of those things. I didn't have real big expectations on myself. Luckily, though, the people that I surround myself, they could all see my talent and they could see where I could lead, and they had a lot of faith in me to just put up with me, I guess, and to just wait until I started shining.
Where to now? What's the next 12 months hold for the Reaper?
Well, I think the biggest thing is that I'm going to get surgery tomorrow. See what the surgeon says. Then I'm going to incorporate a strength and conditioning plan, get it all back underway. My team's great. Like, Justin Lang helped me with the first break, so he's going to help me with the second one. And, I would like to fight again this year, but if not early next year, it is what it is.
Well, I mean, if for whatever reason, if a fight doesn't come up again this year, could we possibly entertain, providing your hand and the surgery goes well, a rematch of Mark Geyer v Robert Whittaker on the rowing machine, like you boys had on the footy show a couple of years back?
I still think that was rigged.
I do too. Just quietly. You go like a rabbit. And I was like this big long giraffe.
I was like, I blew my load on that machine. Like I destroyed myself. I was panting. There was blood coming out of my pores. Like, I was doing everything I could, and then I come up with some little number.
Yeah.
I was like, come on, mate.
Yeah. Come on, man.
Put it this way. I don't think the awesome foursome was coming calling for either of you. Based on, I reckon you would have fallen out of a boat. But
see, there again, there's you know, I keep talking about your humility. It's something that, you know, that's attracted me to you, our audience to you. When we spoke to our listeners yesterday on air, the boards were lit up when they knew you were coming in, and they just couldn't believe that we're going to be standing side by side with the world champion. Give your gym a bit of a plug. It's Smeaton Grange.
Yeah, Smeaton Grange, Gracie Jiu-Jitsu. That's where I actually coach two classes a week. Come down,
wow,
suss out the guys. That's where my team is. That's where we all are. Stand Strong Boxing is where I box. Live Athletic in Cronulla, strength conditioning place. And, Bulldog Castle Hill. You know, that's where I'm kickboxing.
In the countdown, UFC countdown, they showed you over at Castle Hill. That looks like a brutal gym.
Yeah, it's
like no holes barred shit.
Old school kickboxing.
Yeah,
it's great. You either love it or you don't.
But the thing about that, sorry, Liam, the thing about that too, the UFC countdown was the love that you have for your wife, Sophia.
Mm.
Like, it's genuine. It's, you can tell that she's been your best. Like, without her, where would you be?
Exactly. Well, a lot of people don't know that I've been with Sophia since about 16. And
wow.
When you were 16, you have a lot of growing up and learning to do. you certainly have your ups and downs from 16 to 28, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah.
But she was with me when I was, like, still walking around the streets in footy shorts.
Wow.
You know, so.
And what shorts are you getting around in now?
Oh, man, look at the way I'm
dressed. Yeah, very, very sharp number. Hey, MG, you mentioned the response we got from our audience about Robert's win. I wanted to play. We got a call yesterday. We were asking people, because we'd had our Origin blinkers on to some extent. We were asking people to celebrate the sports that we might not have given enough attention. We got this call from Dan, and I wanted to share this with you. This is Dan from Camden on our show yesterday.
What's so amazing about Robert was he broke his thumb 30 seconds into the fight, fought this guy one-handed. This is a guy that came in overweight, that Whittaker didn't have to take the fight because the guy couldn't make weight again. Whittaker, being the champion that he is, fights the guy, beats him with one hand, just like in the first fight, he beat the guy on one leg when he had his knee kicked out in the first round. Australia doesn't have one mixed martial artist in the top 10, let alone a world champion. This is such an amazing achievement. And I don't think Australia appreciates just how good this guy is. Australian mixed martial arts has got a massive hole in its game, and that's called wrestling. The Americans grow up with wrestling in their school system. Mm-hmm. Robert Whittaker is the one guy that we've got that can stop the takedown, get himself back to the feet, and then Bobby Knuckles puts him to sleep. Oh.
Mate, that was Dan from Camden yesterday on the show.
We actually gave him a shirt. Stay around in the Sydney shirt. That's a great call.
That is great. That's a great call. It's why I do the sport and why I get such a good kick out of it, because people appreciate me like that. It's a lot of hard work gets into it, and a lot of work that people don't see that isn't in front of the lights. You know, fights are won on the streets. But, to be able to hear appreciation like that, like honest appreciation, it's just...
Well, I want to thank you for your time. MG's got about half a dozen things he wants to sign for you out there. He's got photos he wants you to take. He wants staging photos of you and him weighing in. He wants to wear the belt. So this has been a fantastic interview. You've given us plenty of time, but MG's going to need you for another half an hour out there for all that stuff. So
My pleasure.
And tell your dad, who I know is a big fan of the show too, we missed him. We've got him a little pack to give him, the Stay Random Sydney t-shirt, some key rings, and we've got you some as well.
Oh, thank you so much. My dad is a huge fan of the show, Like, he goes, he always used to go to me, he goes, you know, that's how you know you made it, mate. You're on Triple M.
Oh, there's our promo.
Absolutely. Robert Whittaker, yeah. UFC middleweight champion. Thank you for coming on the Rush Hour with MG.
My pleasure. Anytime.
Thanks for listening to the Rush Hour Catch-Up Podcast with MG. Remember, we're all one big team. Make sure you support the Gotcha for Life Foundation at Chemist Warehouse, raising funds and awareness for men's mental health.